Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Mai Canales, Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Department of Treasury. Good morning, Mai.
Good morning, Paul. I'm very happy to be here this morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Jay Tanzing, a PwC consultant. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Mai, let's start by finding out more about the Department of Treasury, its overall mission, and some of the specific agencies within it.
Okay. Treasury is actually one of the most diverse agencies in government. We do everything from promote prosperous and stable American and world economies to taxation, to producing coins and currency, to safeguarding financial systems, to law enforcement and trade, to protecting the president. We have 14 bureaus and we run the gamut of operations.
And let's find out about your role as the Deputy Chief Information Officer. What do you do?
I get involved in a little bit of everything. As the Treasury Deputy CIO, I help the CIO oversee strategic planning, capital investments, manage the direction of information technology enterprise solutions. I sit on the Treasury CIO Council and on the Treasury CXO Council, which is actually the human resource, the financial, the procurement, and the information officers all together meeting to address programmatic issues across Treasury. I serve on federal boards and committees, which I think you'll hear about a little bit later as we converse, but I get involved in everything Treasury does.
How many folks are in the office of the CIO?
Well, we have about 220 government employees and twice that in contractors. I think we have almost 500 contractor staff.
And what type of skills do they have? I sort of imagine they're all technologists. Is that?
Some of them are policy-oriented. Many of them are technology oriented, but you know, more and more in the government, as we buy solutions from companies like Pricewaterhouse, what we're looking for in the government are program managers who understand IT issues, but more have the management skills to make large scale IT programs successful.
Mai, let's spend some time talking about your career.
I started my life in the private sector designing missile systems in the Navy as a consultant. And went from there after the Challenger accident with NASA. I went to work as a consultant for NASA, designing a quality assurance program so to try and prevent any future shuttle accidents, which I'm proud to say, so far so good. And then from there, I met someone who took me kicking and screaming into government life. But I have to tell you, I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I have met hardworking, talented people, and I'm having a blast. I started with the Department of Veterans Affairs in their headquarters in what became the office of the CIO. It wasn't called Chief Information Officer back then, but doing the strategic planning, the financing, nationwide solutions, and now I'm with Treasury and the Chief Information Officer and still having a blast.
You mentioned that you worked in the private sector before joining public service. How did those experiences impact or prepare you for your career as a public servant?
You know, I think it just made me very resourceful. As a consultant, you know, one day you're working with NASA, one day you're in Army, one day you're in your Marines, one day you're Navy, and you get to know all about government, which is interesting because you think internally people would get to know more about government, but what I've found is that people get to know their agency and their mission very well, but it's hard for them to get to know other agencies and other missions. I think as e-government grows, that will change a little bit because we have to get to know each other. But in the private sector, it just made me very resourceful. I got to know all the parts of governments. I got very good at presentation skills and exposure. I think just exposure.
How would you contrast the culture? Some would have us believe that the public sector and the private sector are very close and very similar. Others would say they're very different. How do you see them?
Well, you know, I think in the private sector, as you get to huge companies, they actually aren't that different from government. The issues are the same. You know, they have massive cogs that you have to turn to get anything done, which, you know, that's historically what people say about government. How do you get anything done? But, you know, in the past 2 years where I've been with Treasury and the Federal CIO Council, with the partnerships we've created, we've done incredible things. You know, e-government is really moved quite a bit in the past 2 years. We've got FirstGov out there, the government online portal. We've got committees out there looking at processes across government. So I'd say large companies are very much like the government. The smaller companies, you know, they go in and they're like pinch hitters. They go in and they attack a certain thing and then they go somewhere else, and you're just exposed to little pieces and parts. You have a specialty item. So those are very different.
What drew you to public service, and I guess what keeps you here?
What drew me to public service was a very nice, he's now passed away, but a retired general who needed some help. The Department of Veterans Affairs was doing some nationwide networking and mail implementations and things like that, and he just didn't have anybody on board to manage those contracts who understood the issues, who understood what a router did and how it connected to other things and what the heck a wide area network was and how people talk to each other. So he brought me on board and said, just stay with me for 3 years and get this done. And, you know, don't worry, it'll be good for your career. And it was. I mean, I've had a wonderful time. I've done great things. And right now I'm staying because I'm having a great time. And I believe in what we're trying to do with e-government, you know, with the new administration and Mark Forman, who's come in to do e-government for us across the board in the federal government. I really believe in what we're doing. I think it's the right thing to do.
What are the skills that the CIO needs? I mean, you've kind of moved between being a business leader and a technologist. Could you break the job apart into a couple of those categories?
Actually, you said the key word there. The technology background that I have technology degrees, help a great deal. I mean, I know what people are talking about. I know when somebody's trying to, sell me something I don't really want. But, you know, what helps me a lot, I think, is my business degrees and the business background, understanding what government's trying to do. Because if you think about it, technology's there to support business. And if we don't understand our business and our mission and what we're trying to do, the technology doesn't make any sense. So I think the business skills. But, you know, I found that the most successful people in life are people who they take the time to listen, they're honest, they're fair, and they just treat everyone with respect and dignity. And in the higher levels, that's what's most important.
Do you think those skills of a good leader are going to change as more and more life becomes technology enabled?
I don't know that they'll need different skills. They'll have to understand how to, you know, read email and send things electronically and approve things on a screen versus with a pen and paper. But I think still, you know, anybody who's a good enough leader to run a nationwide corporation or an agency that has impact around the world is going to understand those things. I think the skills are still going to be important, that they understand their business. They have whatever the business or the mission, like with Treasury, a strong economic background is a good thing, you know. but, you know, I think still just being able to listen to your managers that you have working for you who are actually responsible for getting things done and treating people fairly with respect and dignity, I still think are the strongest things a good leader is going to have.
What are the management challenges of working with such a highly specialized team as you have? They all probably have advanced degrees and they're all trained in these kind of things.
No ego, because they all know far more than I do. And I think the challenge comes when you have to make those tough decisions, when the room can't agree and you need to make a call about which way to go on something. And, you know, not everybody's going to be happy, because as you change things, for instance, with e-government, the talent or the task is not the technology, really. I mean, it's combining processes like, say, trade, commerce, agriculture, treasury, transportation, justice. We all have pieces and parts of that. If we combine that into one process, imagine the culture change across those agencies. People's jobs are affected. Not that people would lose jobs, but their jobs might change. People don't like that. You know, they don't want to change. They're very comfortable. For the most part, people hate change. The change management, or I should say the management of change, the facilitation, the people skills are the critical things we need today.
How about the challenges of managing or dealing with a workforce that, as you indicated in our a couple of questions ago, has a high component of non-government employees?
Frankly, I hire companies like you. A company like Pricewaterhouse is familiar with the issues. You have the technical talent. You can swap in a networking talent person one day and a web talent person the other day, which I cannot do in government very easily.
A lot of people don't think it has as many benefits as you describe, and they say, well, you know, some jobs are inherently governmental and we ought not do that. Do you feel any of that tension or see that?
I think some jobs probably are inherently governmental. You know, there are policy decisions, massive funding efforts, and Yeah, somebody in government will always have the case that we truly are not interested in where that money goes. And in private sector, even an honest broker, you know, you're allowed to own stocks and things that I'm not allowed to own. For instance, I don't own any Microsoft stock, so that I can make Microsoft decisions without any impact to myself financially. You know, you are allowed to have those things, and personally, you may have drivers that I don't have. So there are some things that I think need to stay inherently governmental. But I need advice, and if I bring in advice from companies like Pricewaterhouse or Booz Allen or other companies that are in the business of doing that, I'm going to get across-the-board advice. I use companies like Giga and Gartner and Meta. They do research for me. They tell me what best practice models are out there. I can't depend on one honest broker, obviously, but I think definitely we need that more and more.
That's a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our conversation with Mai Canales of the Department of Treasury. Are you aware of the latest goings-on in e-government? Well, you'll find out about it from her when the Business of Government Hour continues.